Chapter 11 this morning, Hebrews chapter 11. I'm taking a detour from our regular study. We've been studying together through the book of John in the New Testament, the book of Exodus in the Old Testament. And today I felt the Lord leading me in a different direction. And I want to be sensitive to the Lord. And we'll get started with this today. God willing, we'll finish it next week. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 13 and following. Hebrews chapter 11. Verse number 13 and following. Thank you for being here today. God bless you. All the regulars, appreciate your faithfulness. Those visiting with us, welcome to the church service. We sure hope you find a warm welcome here. And I hope you'll come back to be with us again. Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 13 and following. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. But they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He hath prepared for them a city. If you're in a habit of marking your Bible, there's a phrase I want to draw to your attention in verse number 13. He's speaking about God's children. And he lifts out and he begins to speak about a particular name that he has given to his children. And you'll notice this name, it's the title of my message. It's the name Strangers and Pilgrims on the Earth. Strangers and Pilgrims on the Earth. I want to begin this message with you this morning on that thought, strangers and pilgrims on the earth. He's talking about God's children here. Let's pray together. Father, we love you, and I pray that you help me to preach with power and compassion, conviction, and I pray, Lord, that you'll take full control of my mind, of my words, and may the word that's preached today not be man's word, but the word of God. Challenge us, convict us, change us. Do your will today. We give this service to you. If somebody's come here that's never come to Christ, may today be the glorious day of salvation. In Jesus' name, amen. When we consider the names of a child of God, you can get a little glimpse into what God has done for us and what we're supposed to be and supposed to do in this world. Now I want to pause here and say that when the Lord saves a wretched, hell-deserving sinner, He certainly does a whole lot for them by His amazing grace. As a matter of fact, we who have been saved should praise our Heavenly Father, should praise the Lord Jesus Christ, and praise the blessed Holy Spirit who've been so good to us by saving us from eternal danger and eternal death. When you look at the names of God's children, there are many of them that come to mind. When you do a study of the names of God's children, you find that we're called the children of God. We're called the righteous. We're called ambassadors for Christ. We're called branches. We're called sheep. We're called the light of the world. We're called the salt of the earth. On and on we could go, but now we see a name here that the Lord has laid on my heart to preach to you this morning. It's the name Strangers and Pilgrims on the earth. Now, there are three things I want to give you, but I'm only going to get to two of them. Let me go ahead and give you the three things, but I'm only going to get to two of them today. First of all, we notice our description. Secondly, we'll notice our destination. Thirdly, which we will not get to, we'll look at our duty. As we look at this name, Strangers and Pilgrims on the earth. Number one, by the way, this is for Christians. If you're saved today, you are a stranger and pilgrim on the earth. If you're not saved today, you're missing out on a whole lot. And today could be the day of salvation for you. Number one, let's notice strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Let's notice our description. We see this in verse number 13, where the Bible calls us strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Now, in order to help us with our understanding for what the Lord means in giving us this name, it's necessary to describe this name. Now, this is a brief point. Now hang on, because point two is a long point, okay? But let's describe these two names, strangers and pilgrims. Do you realize that by just looking up the definition of these words, it gives you what God is telling us in this name? Now I want you to listen to these definitions and see if you can tell what God's trying to tell us about who we're to be on planet Earth. Because he says his children are strangers and pilgrims on the earth. What does he mean? Listen to this, strangers. What's it mean? Listen to the definition. A stranger is a foreigner. Now let this speak to your heart. A stranger is a guest. A stranger is a person out of their own country. Now friends, it's starting to bless my heart right here. A stranger is a person living in a land that is not his own. A stranger is a person who is not a permanent resident. That's all in that name, stranger. Now, let's go to pilgrim. What does a pilgrim mean? You look it up, here's what it means. It means a sojourner only for a time, not intending to take up residency in that place, and not intending to get naturalized in that country. In other words, he's only passing through. He's not going to let that place take effect on him. Powerful thought, friends. One who's passing through one place en route to another place. Let me say this again. You put all this together. A foreigner, a guest, a person out of their own country, a person living in a land not his own, a person who's not a permanent resident, a sojourner only for a time, who's not intending to take up residency in that place, not to get naturalized to that country, one who's only passing through because he's going somewhere else. Now you put all that together, and the description of this name shows us that we are strangers and pilgrims. We are living in this world, but this world is not our home. We are living in a foreign culture, passing through earth on our way to our heavenly country. Now, friends, I'm going to tell you something. If that doesn't bless your heart a little bit, your blesser's broken. Amen. I'm telling you this morning that we are not to take up residency here. We are not to allow this world to naturalize us in it. We're not to let it rub off on us. We are strangers and pilgrims passing through on our way to our heavenly city. Philippians 3:20 says, for our conversation. You know what that word conversation means? It means our citizenship. Look it up. For our citizenship is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Psalm 119:19, I am a stranger in the earth. God calls his children among many things. He calls us strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Our description is we're only passing through. We are foreigners here. There's another place we're headed. We're only touring this city, but we're not to take up residency here. Secondly today, and I want to camp out here. Matter of fact, on purpose, I'm not going to go to point three because I believe I'd start overloading you. You know, a preacher can't overload the congregation. And today I want to leave you with this thought. Not only our description, but number two, here's where I want us to focus. We notice our destination. Now, here's what I mean. Keep in mind, a stranger is a foreigner. It means he's coming from somewhere else. A pilgrim is somebody who's passing through one place on his way to his own native country. That's a pilgrim. Well, the common sense question is this. Where are we headed? What is our country? What is our city? The word of God says in verse 14, for they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. Verse 16, but now they desire a better country. That is, an heavenly. Wherefore God's not ashamed to be called their God. For he hath prepared for them a city. The Word of God tells us here that these seek a country. They desire a better country. And that God is preparing for them a city. By the way, aren't you looking forward to getting to the city made by God? Folks, I want to encourage you today. I want to be a blessing to you today. And the blessing comes in focusing our attention that this world's not our home. We're only passing through. We are headed to a city. We are headed to a country whose builder and maker is God. It's beautiful to stop and think about the destination of strangers and pilgrims on this earth. An angel having a golden reed comes to measure this city. A reed was about 10 feet in length, you see, and we're told that the city's built like a square at the bottom. It's of equal lengths on all sides. We're told that this city measures 12,000 furlongs on each side, and that it's as tall as it is wide and as it is long. 12,000 furlongs translates to about approximately 1,400 miles. This city is astounding in its size. If one edge was placed on the Atlantic Ocean, the opposite edge would sit near Denver, Colorado. If the north edge of the city sat on the Canadian border, the other edge would sit somewhere around Miami, Florida. It's massively big. That is one big town, one big city. And folks, that's just length and width. That's not including the height, you understand. It's even more amazing to consider that it's 1,400 miles high. The Bible says the gate of that city they're made of pearls in Revelation chapter 21. The pearl was, as you know, was formed out of pain. A grain of sand is trapped in an oyster, and that sand irritates the oyster, and the oyster begins to build up layer upon layer of calcium around that grain of sand. And after a long while, a pearl is formed. The pearl is the only gemstone. Get this. It's the only gemstone made by a living organism. The pearl is the oyster's answer to its pain. It's in pain, so it's just putting layer and layer upon calcium until it forms a pearl to ease the pain. Could it be that God is having the gates made of pearl to remind us that salvation in heaven that it provides for free? It was not free, and it did not come cheap. Everything we have was born out of the pain of the Savior on the cross of Calvary. And every time we enter that city, we enter that country to remind of the price He paid to redeem our souls. Heaven is our Lord's answer to the pain of His cross. Even the street of heaven will be glorious to behold. We'll walk about on a street that's paved with the purest gold. What a city, what a country awaits the redeemed. This world is not our abiding place. This world is not our destination. We are headed for a better land. Now I want to give you a couple of things about our destination. And I want you to ask the Lord to speak to your heart. If you're saved today, this is the place that awaits you. If you're not saved today, this is the place that you are forfeiting for something that's not worth it. And this place can be yours if you'll trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. First of all, under our destination, letter A, some things that will not be there. Some things that will not be there. May I say this to you? One of the many things that is wonderful about heaven is what will not be there. Now, we think about things that will be there and people that will be there, and that's a blessing. Don't misunderstand me. But I want to start here with some things that will not be there. We're going to walk through this together. I want you to flip with me to the book of Revelation, chapter 20. We're going to walk through these verses together here. We're not going to preach on all of this, but I am going to give you just a little taste of this. And may God encourage our hearts today with this city that we're headed to, this destination where we're going. And we're going to look first of all at what is not going to be there. They all start with D to try to help you remember them, okay? So D, all right? I do that to try to help you remember these things. What will not be there? I'm going to put no, and then here's a D word, all right? No, 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 okay? First of all, no devil. Can somebody say amen right there, please? The Bible says in Revelation 20, verse 10, look at it. It says, and the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and false prophet are, and they shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. May I say this to you? I am not happy that human beings will be cast into the lake of fire, but I'm so thrilled the devil will be. Let me say this to you. I hope you don't love the devil. I hope you dislike the devil very much. May I say this to you? Has the devil ever bothered you? I'm not asking has he personally, because he can only be in one place at one time, but has he or his demons or his influence ever bothered you? Has he ever been after you? He hates you, by the way. He hates your children. He hates your grandchildren. He hates your great-grandchildren. He can't stand you. He can't stand Jesus. He can't stand God. He can't stand the Bible. He wants to be God, and one day God's going to cast him into the lake of fire forever. And if you're going to heaven, you'll never meet the devil there. Amen. I'm glad today that my destination, even though this place that I'm sojourning through, even though this place that I'm passing through, I meet him often, I meet him very often, but I'm headed to a destination where the devil will never enter that place. And friends, I'm going to tell you something, that right there ought to be enough to say, I want to go, amen. There's no devil there. Number two, there's no death there. We see this in chapter 21, verse 4. God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Notice this, and there shall be no more death. Glory, I'm getting blessed right there. May I say this to you? Some of the saddest times in life is when you have to say goodbye to somebody on earth. Some of the saddest times in life is whenever death claims one of your loved ones. It claims some of mine. Claim some of yours too. But friends, I'm so glad to announce to you that in our destination, our heavenly city, our heavenly country, there'll be no more funerals. Glory to God. There'll be no more hearses. There'll be no more graveside services, because in that land, there's no more death. Friends, have you have lost somebody that meant the world to you? Would you raise your hand? I'm going to tell you something. In that city, you'll never experience that again. Never experience it again. There's no devil there. There's no death there. Number three, let this speak to your heart. There's no disappointment there. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever been disappointed? Yes? Join the crowd, friends. But I want you to read this verse with me and notice it. Look at verse 4, chapter 21. God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death. Here's where I get no disappointment. Neither sorrow nor crying. Neither sorrow nor crying. Let's look at these two separate. Sorrow. Neither sorrow. What does that mean? You know what the word sorrow means? It denotes any kind of sorrow or grief of any kind. It means any kind of sorrow for like the loss of property, the loss of friends, the sorrow for disappointment, for persecution, for care, sorrow over your sin, sorrow that you love God so little, that you serve Him so unfaithfully, sorrow because you're sick, sorrow because you don't feel good, sorrow because you know you're going to die. How innumerable are the sorrows and the sources of sorrow here on earth? How constant is sorrow here? Friends, it's all the time. Since the fall of man, there's not been a day, there's not been an hour, there's not been a moment in which this has not been a sorrowful world. There had not been a nation, not a tribe, not a city, not a village, not a family where there has not been grief and some kind of sorrow. There's been no individual who's always been perfectly happy. No one rises in the morning with any certainty that he may not end the day in grief. Nobody lies down at night with any assurance that it may not be a night of sorrow. But how different would it be when you announce that we're headed to a place where there's no sorrow of any kind? There's no disappointment of any kind. There's no bad news. There's no sickness. There's no death. There's no sorrow at all. We can't even fathom it. You can't even think. We can't even logically think about that. Why? Because our life is eaten up with sorrow. Let me ask you a question. Don't raise your hand, but raise it in your heart. Have you dealt with sorrow this week? Have you dealt with anything that brought you disappointment? Sorrow? If you're saved today, you'll never experience that in your heavenly home. Isn't it just like an itch that you just can't hardly get to? You want to go when you hear things like that. No disappointment. You get that when it says no sorrow. But then it goes on to say no crying. What does that mean? That word denotes a cry, an outcry, a tumult, a clamor. It denotes a cry of sorrow or wailing. It refers to all the outburst of grief arising from affliction, from oppression, from violence. The sense is that as none of these causes of wailing will be known in the future state, all such wailing will cease. This too will make the future state vastly different from our condition here. For what a change would it produce on the earth if the cry of grief were never to be heard again? Have you ever cried because your heart was broken? You ever cried because your heart was grieved and your heart was sorrowful? Whether it be pain or sickness or you just don't feel good today or whatever. Everybody's experienced it. But not there. There'll be no devil there, no death there, no disappointment there. Number four, no disease there. No disease. The Bible says in verse number four, notice this, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. When you look that word up, pain, you can see that in the context, it seems to be talking about there'll be no sickness. There'll be no calamity. Let me ask you a question. How full of pain is this world? How full of pain is it? How many lie on beds of languishing? How many are suffering under incurable diseases? How many are undergoing severe surgical operations? How many are pained by the loss of property or friends? Friends? Again, it's beyond our reach. We can't quite grasp it that the place where we're headed, there's no more pain. No more pain. Have you ever had pain? Pain comes in different packages, you know. We're not talking just about physical pain. We're talking about emotional pain, mental pain. There's all kinds of pain. Can you imagine a place where there's no more pain? No more pain. I don't know what else to say. I mean, how do you explain it? There's no devil there. There's no death there. There's no disappointment there. There's no disease there. Let me give you another one. There's no defilement there. You see this in verse number 27 of chapter 21. Notice that. And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth. There's where I get. There's no defilement there. Anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie. The idea here is anything polluted, anything unclean, such as sin. Chapter 22, verse 3 talks about that the curse has been removed. See, heaven's a perfect place. And only those who are washed clean by the blood of Jesus Christ and declared to be perfect by the blood of Christ will enter into that city. Imagine a city where there's room for all. There's no ghettos. There's no mean streets. There's no wrong side of town. You ever gone to a city and says, now, you can stay on this side, but don't go to the other side of town. That's the wrong side of town over there. There's no such place in heaven. Imagine a city of absolute beauty and sinless perfection. If you can imagine absolute beauty and sinless perfection, you can't. But if you could, you could imagine home, because that's heaven. Hey, there's no death there, no devil there, no disappointment there, no disease there, no defilement there. Number six, no darkness there. We see this in chapter 22, verse number 5, where the Word of God says, and there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. There shall be no night there. The darkness that haunts this world will be banished over there. There'll be no more dark hours when the prince of darkness can do his wicked works. No one will need to light a candle to keep from stumbling. There'll be no darkness of any sort in that land. No darkness, either physical or spiritual, will be allowed there. This earth and every city and home in it requires some source of light. This requires light today. Whether it be the sun, the moon, some lighting systems developed by men, this world, without these light sources, would be nothing but a dark tomb. But heaven, on the other hand, is brilliantly lit by the glory of God Himself. The Bible says there's no sun there. There's no moon there. It's not going to be an electrical outlet that you walk up to and flip it on, because God's there. And God is light. And in Him is no darkness at all. You know, it's interesting that John described this city as being like a jasper stone. The jasper stone is what we would call a diamond today. A diamond. The city will be like a great diamond in its appearance. And can you imagine as it reflects the light of the glory of God in all directions? I mean, we can't even fully understand this. Imagine a world where the glory of God is on full display. No darkness. Imagine a place with all these things not allowed. No devil. No death. No disappointment. No disease. No defilement. No darkness. Let's flip the coin. Letter B. What are some things that will be there? Now, friends, you understand we can't fully describe heaven. You understand we can't fully describe everything that's there. But let me just give you some of the highlights, if you wouldn't mind me doing so. We're encouraged about what's not going to be there. Let's look now at what is going to be there. How about this? Number one, God the Father is going to be there. The Bible says in Matthew 6, 9, our Father which art in heaven. The one who's the source of everything for us. God Himself will be in heaven. John 14, 1 and 2, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. Number one, God the Father's there. Number two, the Lord Jesus Christ is there. We see this in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 24. For Christ has not entered into the holy places made with hands, but into heaven itself. Now to appear in the presence of God for us. See, the one who's the source of all, God the Father's there. The one who died for all, the Lord Jesus Christ is there. But thirdly, our brothers and sisters in Christ are there. There's so many other things. The Holy Spirit's there. Yeah, I mean, you understand. I'm just hitting some of the highlights. This is where I want to encourage you. Our brothers and sisters in Christ are there. The Bible says in Hebrews 12, 23, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven. Who's going to be in heaven? Old Testament saints will be there. Who's going to be in heaven? New Testament saints are going to be there. Imagine being able to sit down with David, being able to sit down with Daniel, Moses, Elijah, Job, or as Dr. Charing calls him, Job. Imagine being able to sit down with Joshua, Caleb, and Ruth, and Mary, and Peter, and James, and John, and Timothy, and Paul, and on and on and on. You say, Jody, do you really believe that you're going to be able to sit down with them? I absolutely believe I'm going to be able to sit down with them. And I'm going to be able to talk to them like I'm talking to you. But it's going to be different then. Let me tell you why. Because we'll be sitting in a place where there's no devil, no darkness, no defilement, no disappointment. We can't hardly imagine it, can we? Reminded, not only think about all these saints of old, but I think about my own family members who've gone on to glory. I think about being able to see my great-granddaddy again, my great-grandmother, my granddaddy, both of them. And my grandmother that I never met, she died in her 30s, my mom's mama. She died when she was in her 30s. I never knew Sarah Bell. Sarah Bell Sales. She was a Cash. Did you all know that Brother Cash and I are related? I knew there's some reason, you know, I really love him. I'm a Cash. I've got Cash in my blood. You imagine that? Lori Randolph, related to me. Oh, my. Stephanie Stedman, related to me. I jerk sometimes thinking about that, you know. I'm just playing with you. Or am I playing with you? I want you to think about those, somebody over on the other side. You know, sometimes I'm loud. I know what you're thinking. What do you mean sometimes, Jody? It's all the time. Sometimes I'm shouting as I preach. Other times I just feel like talking. And right now I just feel like talking to you. I want you to think about somebody that you love more than life itself, that's already there. It may be your mama, your daddy. It may be a brother or sister. It may be a grandparent, a grandchild. Maybe a son or daughter. Because of the Lord Jesus Christ and what He did on Calvary, if you are a pilgrim and stranger on this earth because you've trusted Him, one thing that's in your destination are those who've died in Christ. And if they were in the Lord, you're going to see them again. A man shared a story about a five-year-old. You imagine 5 years old. He was an African-American boy. He'll never be forgotten by those who knew him. A nurse that the man who tells the story worked with, her name was Gracie. The nurse's name was Gracie. She took care of this little boy during the latter days of his life. This boy was 5 years old and he was dying of lung cancer. We don't understand things like that. I know one thing. There'll be no lung cancer there. In the dying days of this little boy, 5 years old, it was a terrifying disease for this little boy. The lungs fill with fluid and the patient gets to where they're unable to breathe. It's terribly claustrophobic. I'm reading the story here. Especially for a small child. This little boy had a Christian mother. who loved him, stayed by his side through the long ordeal. She cradled her little boy on her lap and talked softly to him about the Lord. Instinctively, the woman was trying to prepare her son for the final hours that was to come, because she knew that her boy would probably become scared when the lungs would begin to fill up and he couldn't breathe. Gracie, the nurse, told the man telling the story that she entered the little boy's room one day as death was getting closer and closer. And she heard the boy talking, 5 years old, and here's what she heard him saying, and I'm quoting, "The bells are ringing, Mommy. The bells are ringing. I can hear them." Gracie, the nurse, thought that the boy was hallucinating because he was slipping away, you see. And she left and returned a few minutes later. And she again heard him talking about hearing the bells ringing. I hear the bells ringing, Mommy. The nurse said to the mother, she said, "I'm sure you know your baby's hearing things that aren't there. He's hallucinating because of the sickness." The mother pulled her son close to her chest and she said, No, Mrs. Schaefer. He's not hallucinating." She said, "I told him when he's frightened and when he couldn't breathe, if he would just listen carefully, that he could hear the bells of heaven ringing for him. That's what he's been talking about. He can hear the bells." The precious child died on his mother's lap later that evening. Still talking about the bells of heaven. I know a story like that rips your heart out of your chest, but don't miss it. That mother knew that she had to say goodbye, but only for a time. Because she knew that she'd see him again. Rips your heart out of your chest when you lose somebody. But if they were saved and you are saved, glory, the best is yet to come. You're going to be reunited. You're going to see him again. Thanks to Jesus. Your brothers and sisters in Christ are there. Let me give you two more quickly. Your name is there. Our name is there. Luke 10:20 says, "Rejoice because your names are written in heaven." This means we have a title deed there. God's written your name there. That means you own it. Amen. It's your home. Let me give you a final thing. Your inheritance is there. The Bible teaches this in 1 Peter 1:3-4, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again into a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you." Your inheritance is there. All the riches of God's glory and God's grace are reserved for you in heaven. A widely respected man known as Uncle Johnson died in Michigan at the incredible age of 120. Can you imagine that? 120 years he lived. One day while working in his garden, he was singing songs of praise to God, and his pastor who was passing by looked over the fence and said, "Uncle Johnson, you seem very happy today." "Yes, I was just thinking, Pastor," he said. "Thinking about what?" He said, "Oh, I was just thinking that if the crumbs of joy that fall from the Master's table in this world are so good, what will the great loaf in glory be like?" "I tell you, sir, there'll be enough for everyone and some to spare up there." The Apostle Paul said, "I'm just about done. Stay with me." 2 Corinthians 5:1-2, here's what Paul said. "For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, and house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house. which is from heaven. D.L. Moody said this, and I'm coming to a close. The thought of heaven has cheered the soul of many believers. Some say that we are fools to believe in heaven. But to deny heaven is to deny Jesus, for he came from heaven. It's to place our departed loved ones in the cold, dark grave. It's to deprive millions of Christians of the greatest hope they have. To deny heaven is equal to murder, for it kills hope. To thievery, for it robs joy. To slander, because it calls God a liar. I'm glad this morning that I know in my heart that heaven is real. And I know someday I'm going to see it. I give you this story, I'm done. There's a little boy, a little girl, one of the two, flying a kite on a string, obviously. And the kite flew up and it went beyond the clouds. And the boy could feel the tug. He couldn't see the kite, but he could feel the tug on the line. And somebody said, "Is your kite still there?" Apparently he said, "Yes." He said, "How do you know that?" He said, "I can't see it, but I can feel the tug." And may I say this to you as I come to a close? If you're saved today, there may have been a time when you doubted it. There may have been a time when you questioned it. But down deep in your heart, even though you've never seen it, you can feel that tug, can't you? It really is real. It really does exist. That's what God puts inside of His children. Hang on, dear friend. You ain't seen nothing yet. Terrible English, pretty good doctrine. Let's bow for a word of prayer, shall we? Father, we love you. We thank you for this day. And I pray that you'll help us to be faithful to you. Your heads are bowed. Your eyes are closed. I want to go ahead and dismiss those who are going to be following the Lord in believers' baptism. If you'll go ahead and make your way now so you'll get prepared. But if you're here today and you say, "Jody, this place called heaven, this place called the country that God is making, the city that God is making, this place where there's no devil, there's no defilement, there's no death, there's no disappointment, there's no darkness, this place where God the Father is, God the Son is, God the Spirit is, this place where saved loved ones are, this place where our inheritance is, our names, I'm glad that I'm going. God is challenging my heart, comforting my heart with this, and give Him praise about it. Praise Him right now that it's a reality and that the best is yet to come." But my question to this congregation is this: is there somebody here today that if you closed your eyes in death, you do not have the assurance that you're going to this place? This place called heaven, this place called home, this place called the Father's house. And if you today say, "Jody, I need to be saved," or "I'd like to learn more about this place called heaven. I do not have assurance that I'm going, but I want it." Why don't you do what many, many did in the country of India? Why don't you come, let us take a Bible and share with you the gospel. Have you know without a doubt that heaven is your home? You don't hope so, you don't think so, you know so. Would you raise your hand in the air with mine? You know heaven is your home. Thank you. You can put your hands down. If you did not raise your hand, thank you for being honest. And you're among friends. We love you here. But more importantly, God loves you. And He's made the way for you to go to heaven. But He will not force you. He will not make you. He simply offers Himself to you. And He leaves the choice up to you. If you're here today and say, "Jody, I could not raise my hand to that, but I desire to." If somebody ever asks that question again, "I want to have the assurance in my heart that I can raise my hand and say, 'Yes, I have been saved. I know it. I don't hope so anymore. I know so. I cannot say that now, but I desire to say that. I really do. I would like to learn more about being saved. I'm not going to come to your seat. I'm not going to embarrass you. I wouldn't do anything like that for the world. But if you say, pray for me, I need to be saved, would you quietly, without drawing attention to yourself, would you quietly raise your hand in the air with mine? Is there anybody like that? You say, pray for me. Thank you. You can put your hand right back down. Somebody else, you say, pray for me. I'm not sure I'm going, but I want to go. I really do. I really do. Anybody else, you say, pray for me. Pray for me. Pray for me. Father, I pray for this one who raised her hand. And I pray that her mother will come with her. And let us take a Bible and help her. May the will of God be done. And may you help them to do the right thing. In Jesus' name. Heads are bowed. Eyes are closed. I'm just going to have them just play through. Brother Gary, I'll have you come here as I go prepare for baptism.
Thank you. You may look this way. Let me give you a couple of announcements. Pastor's already given you several. Remind you, the fifth Sunday offering is tonight. This is our others offering. Takes care of folks with special needs. You pray about what the Lord would have you to do about that. The Get Connected card, if you haven't filled that out, it's still available for you. Just turn that in, the offering, or at the Welcome Center, be fine. We are starting a new verse, or verses. And if you look at it, there's a lot of empty space here. And that's because we've only got three verses, so we're being kind. And I have a month to work on those three verses. We'll start on verse 1 tonight. Also, let me mention tonight, right after the service, the monthly cancer meeting will take place. Wednesday night, Sunday school teachers meeting take place. So lots of meetings going on. This coming Saturday is our monthly prayer breakfast and visitation at 9 o'clock. Hopefully we'll have weather like we've got today. And we'll go out knocking on doors. That'll be 9 o'clock next Saturday morning. And finally, the Rotans will be in the lobby with the tickets for the Sweetheart Dinner. And we encourage you to go ahead and start taking care of that today. They'll be in the lobby today after the service and tonight. And you can get those tickets tonight. Pastor's already talked about that. I think those are all the announcements. Men, you come, and we'll receive the offering this morning. Lord, we do thank you for how our hearts have been encouraged in thinking about heaven. And Lord, there's so much about heaven we just don't know. But we thank you for what we do know about what a place it's going to be and how we can get there and be sure of heaven. Thank you for this one young girl that came this morning for salvation. Pray as she's being dealt with even now that she would have full understanding about salvation. For those who could not raise their hand saying they were sure of heaven, may they get that settled even today. We do pray for these being baptized this morning, Lord, that indeed they would walk in newness of life and that this would be a blessing to them and a help in their Christian life. I ask you to bless the offering now, and to those that give, we pray in Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.
Anthony Greer, upon your profession of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, in obedience to our Lord's command, I baptize you, my sister, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the blessed Holy Spirit, buried with Christ in baptism, raised to walk in newness of life. Cheyenne Tittle, upon your profession of faith in the Lord Jesus as your personal Savior, in obedience to His command, I baptize you, my sister, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the blessed Holy Spirit, buried with Christ in baptism, raised to walk in newness of life. God bless you. Amen. This is Jesse and Austin. These are brothers, and the Lord's done a great work in their heart and life, and I want them to get down here together, and we're going to baptize them. I told them I'm not going to baptize them at the same time, but I want them to come down here together at the same time. So Austin, if you'll just stand right back there, and if you'll hold that, this is Jesse. Jesse, upon your profession of faith in the Lord Jesus, obedience to our Lord's command, I baptize you, my brother, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the blessed Holy Spirit, buried with Christ in baptism, raised to walk in newness of life. God bless you. Amen. This is Austin. Upon your profession of faith in the Lord Jesus, in obedience to our Lord's command, I baptize you, my brother, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the blessed Holy Spirit, buried with Christ in baptism, raised to walk in the midst of life. God bless you. Amen. Austin was saved in our Bible club at Daniel Boone High School. We praise the Lord for that. Jesse came just recently to trust Christ, and these girls following the Lord in baptism, that is a blessing today. Praise the Lord for it. Please be back tonight as we give a report. The whole service, pretty much, I'm talking about the preaching time, will be devoted to this, to the report about the mission trip to India. And I hope you'll be here to listen to that. That'll be a great thing. Okay, I'm gonna ask Brother Barney Barrister, if you wouldn't mind, to stand and dismiss us in prayer. Thank you for being here today. God bless you.